Blog Talk Radio.
Comments or questions at the end of the ministry, we would entertain those input things that you would have to say to help us grow thereby. But if you would right now, would you join your hearts with me in a word of prayer as we get into the word for today? Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow you to show us how to walk in victory in this life. Join us into your presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives and cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. As you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more. Sojourning in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, again, we would like to go back to part three of Prayers That Avail Much. We want to allow God to do what's necessary, transforming and connecting our lives through the power of answered prayers. God has given us a pathway to guaranteed victory that's sometimes unseen, but it is traceable. It's intangible, but yet sure. Sometimes even unheard, but yet powerful. The power of prayer. Prayer is pretty simply communication with God, the Father of spirits. Prayer is the pathway that gives us access into his system. And his system is spirit to spirit. Where his word is exalted, his love is expressed, his spirit is engaged. This is our starting point. It's not the place that we end up when everything goes wrong and has it come to prayer? No, Prayer is not the spiritual eraser for our mistakes. We should start in prayer, stay in prayer, end in prayer, and then walk in victory and enjoy life with prayers that avail much. And we talked last time about the things that would stop this process from working. And right quick at the top of the list would be unforgiveness and judgment because of an injury. And then we because we are off-ended, offended, then everything goes awry from that point. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through, and particularly verses 9 through 15. And Jesus said to us, after this manner, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. A couple of things that we need to understand here, and it's just some of the things, I guess, and particularly if you came from a denomination as I did that was Baptist, then what they did in a cute manner, and they had sincerity in this, but they didn't listen to what he said. In what they did in my family is they would have us to recite the Lord's Prayer generally every night, and what they were thinking of and gravitating towards was to have us to stay in contact, if you would, with God through prayer. But they didn't hear what the word said. It says, after this manner, pray, therefore. It did not say, after these words. And that's a big difference. See, I would do things, and then I would even end that prayer for Jesus' sake. Okay? I mean, Jesus didn't need anything. He was back with the Father by the time I got involved. He was sitting at the right hand of the Father until all enemies be made his footstool. He didn't need anything. His job was finished, he said. So then why was I praying for Jesus' sake? That's just because we didn't understand some things, and they had genuine intent. Again, I know that. But I'm looking for prayers that avail, not prayers that sound good, prayers that made a goosebump. I don't need goosebumps. Amen. Goosebumps could be nice, I guess, could have their place, I guess. But I'm needing answers. See, if we follow the trend that was laid out before us, generally what would happen is we would get emotionally connected and then begin to reach God through our emotions, connect with God because of our emotions. See, and that's not what he wants. He wants us, the Bible says very clearly, John chapter 4, they that worship me must, M-U-S-T, absolute imperative, worship me in spirit and in truth. See, the Father of spirits, speaking to my spirit, bypassing my emotion, bypassing my proclivities to like this or approve of this. See? Well, let's try it this way. He's wanting us to be ambassadors, and if I am an ambassador, then I have to do what the kingdom from which I was sent wants me to do. And he didn't want me to be an emotional being. God made me in his image. And the first thing you see about God is not the goosebump manufacturer. That's not what we should stand in awe of him. Now, just off the top of my heart, awe sounds like it's a whole lot further down the line than goosebump. Amen. See? And then we go after trying to feel God. See, and the Bible says that he winked at this stuff in times past, but now he commands all men everywhere, stop doing that, repent, grow up, go past that. All you can think about in the relationship that you have with the Father is that you know he was here because of a goosebump. Beloved, that's way below the place that he's called you to. He's called you to walk upright. He didn't call you to walk in goosebumps. Okay? He's not trying to deny your emotions. He gave them to you. But he wants you to bring your emotions under, be subjected to the Word of God. See? And that's something that I don't believe was communicated effectively as young children. See, when we were first introduced to this. But Jesus had an answer for this. In Luke chapter, we're gonna kind of go through Matthew chapter 9, look point by point again, just to let you see this. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says these things. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to also to pray as John taught his disciples." And then Jesus again said after this manner. The disciples did not say, "Master, teach us what to say." See? So reciting the Lord's Prayer is not accurate to the growth that Jesus is requiring for our lives. Jesus taught us to pray, and he brought it down this way. Okay, he said, because I don't think that when he says pray after this manner, that it means pray these words. But in the church that I grew up in, it was a Baptist church, that's kind of the understanding that we had. And then because of that, if you can just see this, I love them. I love them. I appreciate what they stand for, what they did in my life. Okay, I appreciate that. I found out, however, that it was much more needed, okay, because I can still go back. There were times that I had gone back to that church because my father was still a member of that church, and I would honor my father when I went home, and I would just go with him to church to let him know that the way he raised me is still working and alive in my life. In my house, on Sunday morning, you was on your way to church. If you didn't go to church on Sunday, you ain't going to do nothing all week because you was not good enough to allow God to receive his glory and honor, then you ain't going to get none yourself. Basketball games through the week, not going to happen. What they would go on is field trips and all, not going to happen. Just because you didn't have enough commitment to the growth pattern that was necessary. I said the growth pattern, okay, that was necessary. Because in my day, it was called the Lord's Day. It was not the Lord's couple of hours. Come on. In the church that I grew up in, you would go to, the way we did it, you would go to Sunday school, and that would start about 9:30. And then you would be in church till well after 1:30. Period. There's no two ways about it. Again, because they were trying to give you patterns that would help you to grow. If you were growing as a child of the kingdom in Israel, then this is what you would do. Nehemiah says it this way. It says, "For a quarter of the day they stood up for to read, and a quarter of the day they stood up for to worship and to praise." If my math is correct, that's half a day in the sun. They did not have air conditioning, okay? And so being from the Baptist persuasion, that was some of the things that we just did. We just knew it was going to be that way, see? So it was the Lord's day. My father was trying to train me in that, see? And so then as he began to do that, I understood it. So I would go home, and as I would go home, I would honor my father by simply going to the place where he understood and contacted God. See? And so then we would do that, and so they would almost every Sunday we would kind of hear this, okay? And again, I'm not mad because it was a starting point. I'm glad. The Bible tells me not to despise the day. Ooh, Lord, thank you. He said not to despise the day of small beginnings, okay? So then whatever I lived through that day, even though it might have been lacking in the complete growth pattern that God wanted, it was still a beginning. And my job was not to despise that day, okay? That's for someone there, that they find themselves in a place and they say they've been stuck there and don't have a way out. Well, the first thing God tells you to do is have your heart right. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Allow Jesus to build on that day. You know, I said that, and I don't really particularly want you trying to build anything. Jesus is the one that, he said, he that began a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. It didn't say, now that I've begun a good work, you start where I stop. First of all, God doesn't stop. See, the first time we were introduced to the Spirit of the Lord, he was moving. And it never said that he stopped moving. Amen. See, so he's just trying to get our heart to be in a better place of receiving, our understanding to be in a better place for looking. He's lifted up, he's lifted up our heads. See? So he wants us to look in a place that's elevated. He didn't even tell them to look out. He said, look up, your redemption draws nigh. So then that would just help me to understand that if I want productive motion, then my direction has to be first to look up, looking unto Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. That would be an up position. Okay? So then if you're continuing to look out, wow, you are probably in error and probably in fear. Because when you look out, just the definitions of the word look out means things are in your mind not going to go well. You're trying to get your information, ooh, Lord Jesus, you're trying to get your information from surroundings, from circumstances, things circled around you, standing against you. That's what circumstances mean. And you should never get your information from circled things around you. If you're going to look in circles to get your information, let me just throw this out there, you will probably end up walking in those circles that you're looking at. Amen. See? He's trying to get you to look unto him so he can stop you from walking in the wilderness as the children of Israel did for 40 years. Okay? There are times that God will allow you to view what happened to you, but he says it or gives you that opportunity with the hope that's alive so that you can move forward. We'll see that as we go through tonight. So he said, teach us how to pray, okay? So then I would submit to you that when he says, our Father who art in heaven, he was trying to get us to identify as a son, as a family member, see? Because when I identify as a family member, I'm not thinking that I don't deserve it. See, I don't function. Okay, well, since I'm a joint heir, that would be an heir that is equal to, not a subservient heir. He said we are joint heirs with him. See, so then because I function as a joint heir, things are different. See? So He wants us to offer up our worship. See? Now, just read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and following. I think I said it backwards. I think I said chapter 9. It's chapter 6. But he says, as a son. Well, y'all, just as I look at that, as a son, and a son is not specifically for gender, all right? He's saying that so that you would be activating family membership. I'll even go further. Family membership with authority. Yeah, let's do that one, huh? See? And that's what he's trying to get us to think from that perspective. Family membership with authority. So then if I don't do that, I don't cause his name to be hallowed in my life. We know it is. God's not worried about his reputation, okay? Jesus made of himself no reputation. So God's not worried about his reputation. His word is already settled in the heavens, okay? But I don't give him a place in my heart that causes truth to be unfolding every day in my life. We're supposed to go from glory to glory, unfolding truth, unfolding wonders, unfolding greatness. See, when I begin to know who I am, whose I am, then my worship becomes productive. It does not become just vain words that I would say, because this is what Jesus was dealing with them in. Just before that, he said, don't do what the Gentiles do. See? You back up just a couple of verses, and you'll see that. See? He said, he don't want you to stand as hypocrites do. They love to stand, pray standing in the places of notoriety, high in the synagogue. People say, yes, he's holy. He's connected to God, and he's not doing anything that God has asked him to do, first of all, to become a family member with power, and then to offer up worship by himself even. Jesus said, when you go to pray, go into your closet. Shut the door. See? He needs us to separate from the world so that we can fulfill what the prayer was actually all about. See? So that if I don't identify with him as father, as a family member with authority, I'm just throwing up words and hoping they get to God. I'm trying to get to prayers that avail much. Okay? So then this is what he was opening up. He was teaching them the position of heart that allows prayer to be effective. I don't know, maybe you've been different than most, but I know times where we prayed about a thing and prayed about a thing and ain't nothing moved because I didn't meet the prerequisites that God had for the heart's position. See, these are not works. This is all attitude-based. Our Father. Let me just ask some things. If I believe that God is causing my issues, am I going to hallow his name? You will hear people going to the king of the day, and they'd say, oh, king, live forever. Now, do you think they meant that? They were in bondage. They were in bad straits. Now, in bad straits, do you think you're going to want the king to live forever so that you can endure those bad straits for more time? I think not. And the king would understand that that's what you're supposed to say. Right? And if he was just feeling right that day, maybe so. See, we can't fool God. He's looking for worship out of a heart that is pure. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That tells us that there is a position of heart that would have a hunger
for God's kingdom or looking for change. Change in them, which will then change their surroundings. God cannot do anything for you until he first does something in you. You might want to write that one down. God cannot do anything for you until he can do something in you. Repent. Change your heart's position. Stop being stubborn. See? Stop requiring a bit to be put in your mouth. Wow, Lord. And you be led back and forth. God wants to allow your life to be led with your mouth, not the bit that's in your mouth. Did you catch that? And whatever you shall declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. So he wants you to use your mouth for declaration, not having to put a bit in your mouth to turn it where he wants it to go. See, when we enter into this life, we go, again, from glory to glory, but we go there smoothly. We don't go fighting and kicking. Because God is looking for a heart. Didn't he ask us to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, our minds, our strength? So if I'm the one with the bit in the mouth, then my strength is going to be fighting against the bit in my mouth. So whatever part, however much it is, of the strength that I'm using to fight the bit, I'm not serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord with all my strength, am I? Selah. I mean, God has required us to do things, and sometimes we just say, no, no, God, that's not necessary. Well, he, having a kingdom that's set up for you to come in and enjoy, knows what's necessary for you to get there. Okay? So it says that we should observe the movement of his kingdom. Well, I'm going to stay here a little while longer, y'all. I was trying to hit this and run, but it's important. In the church that I grew up in the traditions that they were accustomed to, they did those same traditions long after I left the church. They were still in the same place, not helping people get to the place where they can stand up and move into the glory of God. Allow the whole earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters are covered with the sea. I did know their tradition, but I did not know, have any knowledge of the glory of the Lord to the degree that the water and the sea are in comparison with one another. You can't separate the water from the sea. And he wants the whole earth to be filled with the knowledge of that glory. And that's not what happened in my case. Your case might be different. I don't know. But probably your case was the same as mine. I don't care if it was Baptist, Episcopalian. It does not make a difference. I'm not picking on them. I lived that experience. See? And then I heard that it was worse for some other religions. See? I'm not mad at it. It's just that if I want to experience all that God has, it's going to require me coming to the place of surrender. So I need to know, what is God up to today? I need to be able to observe the movement of his kingdom. Yes, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not an issue there. But the way he does things in whatever dispensation that we're in might be different. Jesus did not do the same miracle twice. One time he used spit to cause a man to be healed. See? And we read that, next thing you know, people got a spit ministry going on. They're going to say, the Lord's going to heal them. No, it's not about the method. I was in a Methodist church also, and it was 100% about the method there, not about the relationship. The method was more important than the relationship. How I did a thing was more important than what I did. See? So, we have to be observant of the movement of his kingdom. He wants us to be sensitive. He described in John chapter 3, he described the Spirit of God synonymous with the wind. Amen. See? And you don't know where the wind, that's what it says, you don't know where the wind blows. It was over here, now it's over there. See? And so God wants us to be as sensitive to what the kingdom is doing, because the whole kingdom, it says in Romans, the whole kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See? I'll just show you that in John chapter 3. You can flip over there. See, he wants us to be sensitive to this. Start at verse 3. And Jesus said and answered unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. First time he couldn't see it, now he can't enter the kingdom of God. Because that which is flesh, born of the flesh, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Here he goes. The wind blows where it wants to. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it came from. It comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He wants us to be observant of the movement of his kingdom. But in traditional churches, they are not observant of the movement of the kingdom. They observe you doing traditional things so that they can then write on their checkoff list, they belong to this tradition, to this religion. Thy kingdom come, looking for change. Thy will be done. So, since we're here, he says you should have the ability to execute what he said rather than just to try to say, I hope I'm right in what he said, or I know I'm right and I'm going to prove that I'm right. He said execute. What was the first order that God gave man? He told Adam to reproduce what you are, Adam. Go and multiply, replenish the earth. Recreate in the earth as I created you in my image. That was job number one. See? So then, are we doing job number one? Jesus came, and as he ascended, he told us again, go ye and reproduce me in the earth. Make disciples. Those that are disciplined by me. Those that are disciplined by the word, sensitive to the Spirit. Go and recreate that. Didn't tell us to go and recreate nuts. People that don't hear from God are not interested in hearing from God because they'd rather look good in front of men. This was the problem that Jesus was facing, talking about right here. This is the Lord's Prayer. And he said something interesting here. He said, thy will be done in earth, in Luke. He said, let it be done in earth. See? Right there in verse 10, there it is in this one too. It says, if I'm going to be observant of your kingdom, if I'm going to be observant of your kingdom is going to work in me, because I am made from the dust of the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. I just said before, God cannot do anything for you except he first does something in you. Thy will be done in me the same way it's done in heaven. They're not questions about what God wants to do. He said, do this. That's what they do. I mean, when we're obedient, everything that we need is placed within our grasp. And we will know how to grasp it. There are angelic beings that the only thing they do all day is say, glory, glory, glory. Lord God Almighty. All day. They look up, see God, and bow down their heads and say, glory, 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 Lord God Almighty. And when they get enough strength to come back up and lift their heads up again, they bow back. They do this all day and all night. See? Why? Because in God's presence is what? Fullness of joy. He didn't say some joy. He said fullness. So those angels, those angelic beings, they see God, and as they see God, there's nothing else that they need. See? There's nothing else that they need. Because God fills them with himself. And as they are understanding this process, it goes on and on and on. See? God wants us to understand that. We are observant to the movement of his kingdom. We are the ones that execute his will. It's going to be done in us as it is in heaven. And because of this being done, notice their daily bread is supplied. You don't get the daily bread if you have not become sensitive to the movement of his kingdom and want to do what God told you to do. You will not get your spiritual daily bread. You can go and function under a world curse system, sweat of your brows. You can go do that. Or you can do what Adam did, because God told Adam, here's your job, Adam. Go and name the animals. The next verse says, and God brought the animals to him to see what he would name them. How about that for a job plan? God says, I want you to do this, and then God works all things for your good. God works the things for your good. And here we are, convinced that we got to go out there and hump. I believe that we missed the plan of God. Right here stated, when we do these things, when we line ourselves up with reverence, identifying as a son, observing the movement of his kingdom, doing what he says do, we will have our, wow. God is so good that the supply that you need is the supply that you get. I don't get your supply. One of the first visions that I had was in this vein right here, because I was like, the image of the picture that was in front of me was a person that was running, and they had sweatband on, and they had long hair, and you could see the hair as it released those drops of sweat off of it, that there were people running behind the person that was in the lead, if you would, and blessings were the understanding that I got from those droplets, because they were they were clear, okay? They were without odor, but they were freely flowing. And so then the people that were coming behind them were, some of the people were fighting over the blessing, if you would, and some of the people understood quickly, no, that's not my blessing, that's yours, and they would get out of the way. And I started to understand that God wants us to function by the latter, not the former. People fighting over a blessing, because the flow was continual. It was, if you would, every drop of every strand of his hair had a, provided a drop, provided a blessing, so that it was not a lack of blessing at any time. But people that didn't understand were not sensitive to the movement of the kingdom of God. They would fight for it rather than allow the person whose it was purposed for to get it. Give us this day our daily bread. And he did. He says that Jesus told us he wants you to understand that there will be things that are stumbling blocks. And he wants us to be on balance and not stumbling. God will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. If you're stumbling in the kingdom, then the good thing that God wants for you cannot be given, because he does not withhold the good thing from those that walk uprightly. So one of the things that he stated is forgive. First out the shoe. If you're stumbling here, you're going to have a hard time in the kingdom. If you're stumbling with forgiveness, you're going to have a hard time in the kingdom. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. See? It's mandatory in the kingdom. Then he says, now, you have to recognize there is an ability for the Father to lead. And the first thing he wants to lead you away from is unforgiveness. Lead us not into that, Father. Don't cause me to go where the people that are in anguish are the people that I'm listening to. Come on, y'all. We find people to agree with us that's in the same mess we in. I wouldn't understand how you plan to get out of the mess if the people that you're listening to is already in the mess. I would rather listen at one that has achieved deliverance from the mess so that they can inform me and warn me. You don't need to walk like that. Let me tell you how much time I wasted with unforgiveness. How much of God's blessing intended for me, I was not going to be able to obtain it because I didn't choose to forgive. Forgive our debts as we forgive. Release me as I release them. Oh, Lord. I mean, you just look at the condition of the world where we're living in right now. They need to hear this. They need to see this lived out. People are letting their emotions be on their sleeves, and they're not even willing to change clothes. They keep parading the hurt in front of people. He said, forgive what I did as I forgive those who did stuff to me. That's the kingdom function. I'm not telling you, well, okay, let's do this one. The people will tell you that, I don't want to be no doormat. Okay, let me ask you this question. Are you content to be in the same place you were 3 years ago? Amen. Look like you're going to be a building block for destruction, but you don't want to say that, I feel like if they're going to get away. Okay. Let me just ask a couple of questions here. The Bible teaches us that when we operate in unforgiveness, it's as if we put someone in prison. We have the key. And if you have someone in prison and you have the key, that means you got to watch them in prison, don't you? You can't live your life that was intended for you. You are too busy being a warden. Cast them into prison. That's what it said. And then you become the warden of the prison. So everything that God intended for you, all of the blessings that he was had loaded you down with, you missed them. You don't observe the kingdom. You are living in a hurt that was in the past, and you are protecting the hurt by locking them in the place where you will not ever forgive them. So now you live life in a bitter place, and you produce bitter people. You defile many, James says. Any root of bitterness will spring up and make you trip, trouble you, springing up. And because it's springing up and you didn't let go of the root of the thing from the beginning, now it's going to trouble you, and by that same root, many will be defiled. So then now you're looking around at circumstances and trying to get your information from those around you, not understanding that the blind leading the blind process has already started. Because when blind people lead blind people, it's ditch time. So then you're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Because as soon as you come to the knowledge of the truth, you fulfill, you forgive those that hurt you, and God now can forgive you. You get a get out. That's the only get out of jail free card that there is. It's locked up, tied to, connected with forgiveness. See, God's not leading you that way. He wants to lead you down the path where glory to glory works, where abundant grace flows. But if you do not forgive, God cannot forgive you. See? He said deliverance is what's necessary from the evil. Oh, Lord. He said deliverance is necessary. That's in the prayer. Deliver us from evil. Well, what is that process, Lord? Forgiveness. If you don't forgive, here's what the Bible says. Okay, the book of James again. It says that where there is envy and strife. I'm mad at you. I can't stand you. Strife. Where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. God connected that. I didn't. So I don't forgive. So then now I've got to meander in my life and cause my life to go through not one evil work. He said I'm going to have to meander around every evil work. I'm going to tie up my time, waste my time, disregard my anointing because I chose not to forgive. I mean, we've got to, again, get better at this, understand this, and then cause people to see it working in our lives. We are the salt of the earth, but we haven't lived to make people thirsty. That's one of the first things that salt will do. It'll make you thirsty. Or it'll make you want more of the things that life is produced by. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. That'll take care of a thirst, won't it? Living water. It's so good that the lady at the well, when she drunk of the water, she said, I want some of this water that once I drink it, I'll never thirst again. See? We have the ability to offer the water, the living water, that will cause them not to want to do what they've been doing. They will never thirst again. The desire that was driving them, come on, y'all, the desire that was driving them is going to be resolved by the living water that flows out of our life. But we have relegated everything to a stagnant pond in our own life because we're not willing to grow past the pain, forgiving our debts so that we can release living waters. Hmm. Lead us not into this temptation, but deliver us. Notice this, y'all. The way I understand deliverance is that it's going to require a twofold thing. I'm not delivered until I get to the expected end. I might be in the process of being delivered, but when they release the mail from the post office, it's not delivered until it gets to your house. Is that correct? It's on the way. Check's in the mail, but it's not delivered until it hits your house. Well, then the same thing would be applicable here. If God shows me how to forgive and I don't forgive, I've not been delivered, have I? I have been talked to. I have been instructed, but I haven't been willing to go. So deliverance requires me to submit to the new place that I've never been before. Not hold on to the old place that everybody has seen me function in. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that works in you, not the power that's dormant in you. See? So, I mean, these steps, if you would, and I'm breaking them down as steps so that we can see, okay, I need to get to the place where I'm no longer where I started. I started as a son, but I've been rebellious, so then I'm giving up my sonship and I'm acting like a bastard. Amen. I'm acting like one that does not have a father. But since he said, be in this position, identify yourself as a son to the Father, then offer up worship from that position. Now you can see and observe the movements of his kingdom. You'll see that he doesn't want you to be stagnant. In him we live, in him we move. See, he doesn't want you to be stagnant. He wants you to be able to follow him out of the trouble and into the place where you now can be a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. And if that's the promise, if you're saying you are functioning under the covenant of Abraham, then you have to and be a blessing. You can't just be trying to receive a blessing because that was not the fullness of the covenant. He said, I will bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will make your name great. In thee shall be the answers for the earth. All of the nations of the earth will be blessed. Okay. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because you want this to be an everlasting thing. For thine is the kingdom. And thine is the power. And thine is the glory. Not just one day. Forever. So he wants you to have access to his kingdom. Access to his power. Access to his glory. And be able to enter into eternity. But if I don't do the steps, identify as a son, offer up worship as a son that is sensitive to observe the movement of his kingdom, that is willing to execute his will, that knows that my supply comes because these steps, if you would, have been properly executed in my life and will be properly executed in my life. Jesus was talking about a heart position. See, forgiveness is an eternal requirement. It's at the forefront of our salvation. Prayer, if you would be like gardening, preparing the heart to receive. Prayer is not like shopping. It's like gardening. The proper prayer positions requires you to have a clean heart because those that have a clean heart will see God. They will be observant. Then able to move because of what they see. They're looking unto Jesus. Wow. They're looking unto Jesus because Jesus is always authoring your escape plan. He's the author and developer of your faith. Oh, I hope y'all saw that. He's a very present help, is he not? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. What are you doing while I'm in this trouble? You are authoring my escape. You are writing my deliverance. Okay? And then he's going to develop it. He's not just an author. He's the finisher of it. And he's going to write so that faith comes alive on the inside of you. He didn't write this while you was in the trouble so frustration can remain inside. He wants hope to be alive and then faith to come in action because the hope is alive. Because faith is the substance of what was hoped for. He's standing there with you in the trouble. And there's a word that he's given you. He's writing your script. See? The proper prayer position, it requires us to have a clean heart. Because those that have a clean heart will see God. Remember, except a man be born again, he will not see. Except a man is born of the spirit and of the flesh, he will not enter. So how many times have we been flat out illegal? We're only born of the flesh. We keep doing things in the flesh. He said you have to be born naturally and then born spiritually and then allow the spirit man to take the lead because flesh cannot inherit the kingdom. Flesh doesn't enter in. But your spirit man is hearing information because God is writing down specific deliverance for you at the time you're in the trouble. But if you're going to be one that holds unforgiveness, you block your heart and your ears. You block your heart, your ears, and your eyes. Let's say it all the way, all three. There they are. You can see it. Because you will not see God. You will not be looking to him, and then because you're not looking, you won't hear. And because you won't listen and see, then you can't move. So you're stuck in the place where you don't want to be. All because you won't listen, you won't see. The Bible says that you closed your eyes. But if at any time you will open your eyes, he said he'll hear you. Anytime. See? The problem that we run into is we are looking at the wrong thing in the wrong places, listening to the wrong people, and staying as a companion in that distress. Because, you know, you don't like to be alone, so you find other people that's going through it, and you agree with the problem rather than say, no. I'm going to forgive if I have aught against any so that I can see God. I'm going to be sensitive to his spirit. Sensitive to his word. Didn't God say, this is my beloved son, hear ye him? So in the mess, in the midst of the trouble, let's listen to God. Yeah. He knows you weren't listening when you got into the trouble. He knows that. I'll forgive you of that if you will let go of the people that you hold on to. If you don't, then you can remain where you are, trying to live in a lobster world where nobody's going to let nobody get out because as soon as they see you getting out, they're going to start walking on top of you. That's the way crabs live, don't it? They're trying to get out, and they're going to go over the top of you. Rather than allow God to show them by his spirit, by his word, where their exit is, he will catapult you. The Bible says in Psalm 27, he will cause your head to be lifted up above your enemies. Hello, you'll start looking in a different place. See, I'll start inquiring of the Lord to see his beauty. I'm not looking at the ugly anymore. I'm taking my eyes off the ugly, and I see the beauty of the Lord. And as I see the beauty of the Lord, I see the impending deliverance that that beauty presents to me. Okay? Notice, come on, y'all. Notice what he just said about my deliverance. My deliverance will come out of the place of beauty, not out of the place of hurt. This is the one thing David said, I require of you, that I might inquire in your holy temple, that I might see the beauty. Oh, Lord, I guess we better turn on it just so we can see that. That's just good. That's just good, sir. Wow. Let's turn to Psalms 27. Thank you, sir. The Lord is my light. This is my father's favorite song. And my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came unto me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should be encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, not after the trouble is already worked out. Not after I done did a workaround, as my daughter calls it. Says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now mine head shall be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, because of this, I will offer in this temple the sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing the praises unto the Lord. Hear me when I cry. My voice, have mercy with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I see. Lord, oh, by thy face, Lord, will I see. I mean, you can just see David changing the way he saw things because of what he wanted from God. He acknowledged the enemies. He acknowledged the plan. But he said, this is the one thing I'm looking at. I want to see God. I want to be able to understand my path out of here. He's going to put me up on a rock. And then from that position, my head will be lifted up. Notice, wow, y'all, notice. It says that he's going to do this. Just look at this. Come on. Wow. He's going to set me upon the rock. I'm not standing up trying to get out. I am learning how to rest at his feet. He's going to set me up on a rock. And then when I'm set up on the rock, my head will be lifted up. Did you see how that works? See, we're going to have to learn how to surrender here. See? We're going to have to stop trying to make things happen and just go sit, be set on the rock. Then everything that you need, he said, if I would seek him, then what will happen? Things will be added unto me. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He didn't say, then you will work for. He said, then all things will be added unto you. I mean, they were trying to kill Jesus, and Jesus, the Bible said, walked through the midst of them hiding himself. Wow. Walked. He didn't walk away from them. He didn't run away from them. He didn't ask God to translate him. He walked through the middle, through the midst of them. We have better options, beloved. Proper prayer positioning requires we have a clean heart, because those that have a clean heart will see God. A clean heart allows God to move in every situation. If you would, it's the highway of heaven. It's both the proper way and the pathway, the way your heart should be and the way the heart will observe its exit. It is both the accessibility and the accountability. See, I'm supposed to have a clean heart. A clean heart is the highway of heaven. God gets to move in a hurry. Because all he had, that's good, sir. God can work in a hurry because all that's in the heart is the word of God. All that's in the heart is the deliverance and the plan of God. God, the entrance of his word giveth light. He gives understanding to the simple. So once I let the word enter, it will show me where my exit plan is. It will allow showers of grace to be revealed to me. Droplets of glory. Back to the vision. See? I will understand that my God is supplying. I don't have to worry about that. He's not going to run out of the flow that I need in my life. But I've got to treat forgiveness the right way. And go into all of this whole thing was to allow me to have prayers that avail much. Because if I'm not with Jesus is teaching them how to pray. This is all an understanding that will help me to pray effectively. Jesus is not teaching them other things when they ask him specifically, teach us how to pray. I said it's like gardening. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, this is what he said. Oh, I'm going to start with verse 1. Oh, Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, if you will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if I will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. He says, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and they shall glory, and in him shall they glory. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Wow. He says, you departed from me. You're supposed to be my sons, Israel. You're supposed to be my son. But you departed from me. And you got caught up in those circumstances, and now you walk in and gravitate toward those things that you see in the circumstances. You become like them that are attacking you. Dog eat dog world. He says, remove those things out of my sight. Break up your fallow ground. And stop sowing among thorns. How many times in our lives have we sown among thorns? I mean, with that kind of a thing going on, the devil don't even, he ain't got to worry about you. You a self-checker. You are the one sowing among thorns. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They don't even have to worry about you no more. See? We have assisted the devil rather than resisted the devil. We start listening to the people that are circling us and causing us to have pain, and we're saying, okay, this is the way you get out of it, blind leading the blind. We've got to make our path straight and narrow. He says, break up your fallow ground. So then if unforgiveness is still resident. That would represent ground that cannot produce anything of the Lord. Okay? If God wants a clean heart and you have a heart that has unforgiveness in it, I don't particularly care what the event was. Okay? That event is locking you into the destiny that you now endure when you could go to the destiny that you want to enjoy. If you are perpetuating or perpetually living in a mess, unforgiveness has been the field that you've sown in, or it's the thorns that you've sown in. God says, break up the fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. The heart that is not pure is going to produce thorny results. You can look at it in Mark chapter 4. See? Okay, let's go there. I love it. Just Mark chapter 4. I mean, that's why I told you to go ahead and get you some pen and pen and some paper so that you can write these things down, so that you can go back and study it after the fact. Okay? This is not a steely revelation that he's just trying to produce to make people think he's all that. No, I am giving you information so that you can come out of any snare of the enemy. You are delivered by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. This is stuff you got to talk about. You got to live it out. Let's look at this. In verse 13 through 20, he sets the parable out. Because he had already talked about it from verse 1 through 9. Okay, right. Let's do this. This will let you see it. He had already stated this parable in verses 1 through 9. And then he said, if you got ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of the parable. So he says, there needs to be some alone time with you and Jesus. Not you and the circumstances. You and Jesus, where you want to be taught. I hope you see this. When he was alone with them, they asked him. So that when they asked him, they are interested in being taught. Is that correct? So if I'm not going to spend time with Jesus alone, with the ability of heart that says, I want to be taught. Jesus, okay. Notice the people that weren't there, that were not around him, didn't get this information. This is what he said now. He that has ears, let him hear. So what is the process of hearing? When he was alone with them, they asked him. They proved that they had ears to hear. So do you have ears to hear? Or are you just going to spout out poisons because you're hurt? In the midst of the trouble, one thing have I desired. That's what I'm going to seek after. Talk to me, Jesus. Show me stuff. And he said unto them that had ears. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said to those that had ears, they have been given something. It has been given unto you a desire on the inside of you to be taught, a desire to get past this. He said, it's given unto you not just to get an answer for what I said, but to get an answer to the things concerning the kingdom. To know, it didn't say, okay, come on. It didn't even say that you would have toyed with, played with, dabble, it says that you will know. Those that know their God, they are the ones that's going to be strong. They are the ones that's going to do exploits. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, it's an intimacy that he's looking for. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to them that ain't here, to those that are on the outside just saying, wasn't that a good man? Come on, let's go, y'all. Wasn't that a good ministry? No, you need to go and be alone with Jesus so that this thing can be sealed by the Holy Ghost. And all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive. That hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Lest at any time. I made reference to it a little while ago. It's on us. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Then you will not know all any other parables. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. And when they've heard it, immediately they receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, so endure before a time and afterwards when persecution, number one, affliction number one, persecution number two, arises for the word's sake, and they are immediately, they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. I want you to go back and just count the five things. There's nothing else the devil can use. This is the five, period. First one is affliction. Persecution, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in. That's it, y'all. He ain't got nothing else. He ain't got no other tools. Okay? If you're going to get upset because you were persecuted, then what you just gave the devil is a tool whereby he can get the word out of your heart. If you're going to allow persecution to be the thing. And notice it said that persecution and affliction did not come but for one reason, because of the word, for the word's sake. You have your deliverance, you have your pattern, you have your plan of escape, but because of persecution and affliction, you gave it up. You stop listening at the word and start looking at just at the things circling around you, standing against you. These are they which hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Let he that hath ears hear. See, we've got to get rid of the unforgiveness so that we can prosper in the heart, so that the prosperity of the heart will be made manifest in our natural lives. He said, break up your fallow ground and don't sow among thorns. Now, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. See, he wants you to enjoy the process. Righteousness is what he wants to establish in your life so that you can be established in righteousness. That's what you should be surrounded with. There you go, y'all. You're not supposed to be surrounded by circumstances. He said, sow to yourself in righteousness. Right, wow, Lord. Righteousness then, in this regard, he says, when you sow to yourselves, then you will get the benefit. This time, he did not say sow unto the Lord righteousness. He said sow to yourselves in righteousness. All right? Then you'll be able to reap in mercy, and that'll strengthen you to break up the fallow ground. How long, Lord? Seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. When you sow to yourself in righteousness, God will respond to you in righteousness, and it will be in abundance. He will rain it upon you. He's not going to give you a little bit of drop. He's going to rain it upon you so that you become cleansed, bathed, if you would, in righteousness. The way, the view of the way things ought to be. You won't think about, they did this. That's not an issue. Because I'm going to sow in righteousness, and the rain of righteousness will be what I see. This is all in the teaching of Lord, how do we pray? Show us that. Give us that understanding. And ironically, it's not for public consumption. It is for private use. And the private use that you and God work into your heart will be made manifest for everybody. But the choice is yours. Will you continue to dibble, dabble, fall, and be frustrated because of an offense? Or are you going to sow to yourself in righteousness so that the Lord can rain righteousness upon you? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you. We thank you that the Lord's Prayer teaching component for our lives, and we will use it and grow thereby. We will not just run over the things that are hidden inside, because those are the places that you want us to dig, to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord so that we can affect change, because we'll be sensitive to the movement of your Spirit. We will have an expectation to execute what you tell us. Thank you, Father, for a word that we can live by, because the word brings life unto us. Thank you, Father, that we will not remain the same, but we will be changed, and we will go from glory to glory by the Spirit of the living God. We ask and receive it as done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, I stated at the beginning that you can write down any questions that you might have or comments. So we'll give you an opportunity to share with us. Area code 404-490-7875. 404-490-7875. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry today?
I really learned something today about the prayer of the Lord's Prayer. I was always under the assumption that that's how we're supposed to pray. Just go pray that, and, you know, it would be done. But I learned today that that's just the beginning. That's just like a format. We're supposed to learn from that and pray from our heart, and not just from that scripture that we learn as a child, and just, you know, just repeat it and just don't really go into it. So I got that today.
Yeah. I got it a little while ago, but the refreshing that I got through this time took it a little bit deeper, and I'm just glad that God blessed you the same way that he blessed me with information that helps me to be able to stand. We have to come up with prayers that avail, not prayers that just felt good. We're going to have to change that. This is not an emotional opportunity. This is a spiritual opportunity that God gives us so that we can win. He wants to shower us with his love, and his love never fails. Amen. Glad that you were able to receive that and share that with us tonight. Area code 404-762-7412. Area code 404-762-7412. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Area code 404-762-7412. Amen. Amen. And the others have dropped off. But again, when we open up the Word of God, it is our life. So I would just ask you to find a way to live the way he said we should in his word. Every step is already there so that we can then enjoy good at his hand. Amen. I want to thank you for being part of the ministry tonight. And if God lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just go to the website and find the donate tab, and give to your heart's content. Because as we spend time giving you truths from the Word that will open up life to you, it is no hard thing for you to then sow into the ministry so that we can continue to do this. Right now, it's I'm here once a week. As we can grow the thing the way God wants it to be grown, we can have multiple times through the week that you will be able to receive truths from me. That's not elevating me. That's just you partnering with me to help get the word out on a daily basis. So, again, I thank you for being a part of the ministry today. And until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until next week, love you all and be blessed.